This chapter is a very beautiful chapter in Samuel. We have been just preaching through this, and I have been enjoying it so much. I hope you have been enjoying it. And also enjoying the company that comes out at night. So it's beautiful gathering of God's people. Tonight I want to bring to you this message. And this message marks the finished of Saul. His era is finished. And now onward, we will be focusing on a different king, a new one. All the things that we have learned, I pray that we will remember them. And I will be referring back in a little while to some parts of the previous chapters. However, tonight, what I want to bring to us is how long is a Christians. How long will you be mourning for Saul? How long will you be mourning for Saul? That was the confrontation that God had with Samuel. Samuel, because now Samuel is mourning the fact that Saul has been rejected by God. And so it's just like, it's amazing. There's something behind there that why Samuel would mourn the rejection of Saul. Well, there's nothing that really indicate why here, but we can only pray that God will help us to understand why he did that. Maybe there's something personal here. Maybe he was seeing himself as a failure, as a prophet, and now he is mourning that he had wasted his time. You see, with this king, so he has taken all these things to himself. And maybe he was reflecting on his ministry. All of us, we can relate to that. Maybe we reflect on our ministries and we say, what a waste, isn't it? We can say that. When in the first place, like with Saul, God was there. It was not that God was not there with him. And actually had a change of heart when he was anointed as king. Even though he was not the king after God's heart, he was man raised up by people, you see. Even with that, God in his mercy, because he is God who said that he will not reject his people, even though his people have rejected him. And so Saul himself, he got anointed. He received the power of the Holy Spirit as he was turning away from Samuel. As he was anointed. I think we read that in chapter 8, isn't it? So Saul himself encountered the presence of God and the power of God. That is in chapter 10, verse 9. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. So he was man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God was there. Why then Samuel would mourn him? Maybe there's something for us to learn from this today. Maybe God is saying, how long will you be just thinking about that things that I've destroyed? Why will you be thinking that way? How long will you waste your time thinking about something that I have solution for? See, so I'm in charge. You don't have to hold to that. It's past. It's gone. Closed chapter. So we need to move on. God is about saving his own people and he cares. He got more in store. What can we learn from this as God's people? Our God is not stingy. God does not run out of resources. God can renew our strength. God can renew our minds. God can pour out his blessings upon us if we are willing to depart from the things that he has destroyed and completely shut down. And we are willing to lose the things of this world. Probably, if God can rebuke Samuel, how will we be? The man of God, a guy who heard God. I should not call him a guy. A man. Sorry for that. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. A man who heard the Lord from a young age, you see. And yet God rebukes him, you see. So what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful grace that our God will rebuke us, that will not respect us. Just imagine if God will respect you. You are lost. You will be lost. If you think that you can be something really out of God to be very important and to be settle in everything. And you will not need God. And you will not need God checking. And you will not need God leading. And God grace and mercy and power and wisdom. Where will you be? All your glory and righteousness was just like nothing. Even our ministries, our successful ministries will be nothing if we are not walking with him right now. If we are not following him to the end. See, so this is God's heart. He doesn't want us to stop in the way. Certainly there will be a lot of falling flat, you see. There will be times where we will fail completely. We will fail God and we'll fail one another. But that is not the end of the journey. Our risen Christ, our Savior, the Lamb, our Passover Lamb has been offered once and for all our sins and shortcomings, if only we obey and have ears to hear God. This is what the Lord God is saying. And Saul and Samuel, as a man of God, he's going to go with God. He's not going to mourn. He's going to mourn no longer for Saul. Now he understands that this chapter is being closed. Well, he got another problem. Our problem is not only mourning. We got too many problems. If you have only one problem, well, you should shout. Because one is solved, it's done. You'd have no other troubles. But it doesn't work like that with God. It doesn't work like that at all in this redemption. Of course, it's envied by the Satan and also by the token of the fallen world in which we live. The world, the old earth awaits really the revelation of the children of God when the complete redemption will take place and there will be no more tears, no pain, no sicknesses, no visitation to hospitals and no blood taken every time and then. So when everything will be perfect and then even the whole earth will be renewed and everyone the redeemed shall rise and to worship God and to be fully joyful and full of love and full of service and full of holiness. Well, this man, as I said, he has another problem. Now he was told, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Since I have rejected him, and we should reject that which God rejects. That is a principle. If God rejects something and you know and you have been shown grace to know that this has been rejected by God, don't hold to that. Even if it is just so wonderful outwardly, it won't help you, it won't give you vitality, and won't give you all that God wants you to have. God wants us to walk with him. Even when it looks like a failure, he never fails. God never fails. Well, this man, he was told what to do as a way of overcoming his first problem. He was told, rise up, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Look, I do have my own way of sharing things, okay? I'm going to jump this verse and I will come back to it. I want to go to verse 3, okay? And I tell you the reason why. Because it's his second problem, isn't it? It is obvious. His problem now is that he's fearful. He's fearful. How can he go like that? And this man with army, how can he bypass him and go and anoint someone that even he doesn't know how he will look like? And that because that will be an insult to Saul, you see, to anoint a shepherd boy while he, this man, no man like him in the nation, tall and a mighty man of war. This is not just an ordinary man, Saul. This is Saul. He has defeated all his hand full of blood. So how can I overcome this? How can I overcome this fear? Have you ever felt like this? I tell you a history. Many years ago when I was training as a high school, you know, we got addicted to things. I'm addicted to listening to news and radio and so forth. I would study at night and study and also listen to the news. And sometimes there's music. But on a very wet day, very cold day, I just discovered that one of my radios or whatever is ruined. Maybe the what is called? I think the It's just like a charger. Yeah, you see. So it just wouldn't work. So I went on a hunt to find, to buy one. And it's evening, and it was getting to night. And I don't know why I had idea that I could find one. And I was going from shop to shop, and it was just like, so I just don't know why I did that. I was not giving up because I wanted to find. I want my radio. I want to listen to the radios. And then I came to this shop, and this guy said, oh, there's no way. I said, how is this night going to pass? And he said, oh, it will pass. Don't worry. You see, so have you ever had that experience when you say to yourself that, how am I going to go through this? It is just beyond me. I can't endure this. I can't handle this. Have you ever experienced something like this? Well, you are not alone. Saul, Samuel went ahead of us, and he is struggled. But with God, there is always solution. With our God, there is always solution. So he was told that there will be a solution. Because God is about a big business. God is about a mission. And this mission is so important to him, because this mission is rooted in his original purposes, in his redemption history. And so he said to him, the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. I invite Jesse to the sacrifice. Even God himself will give him how to go through that. He has given him. But this is very tricky. Is God lying? Is God pretending that he's fearing Saul? Because it's really funny here. Why God would just want to do it in this way, in a way that there is no confrontation between Samuel and Saul. Well, we know that our God is the most wise God, and his wisdom is beyond any search. It's unsearchable. That was the way for him not to harm Saul any further. He has been rejected, because just imagine if he wants to interfere with God, what will happen to him? He can't prevail, of course. But God is a God full of mercy. He knows also that Saul is part of his people. If he had only listened to him, he is dearly loved. And even the Spirit of God would come upon him. So God wouldn't want to really insult him any further. The man is insulted. And so with us, whenever we are also beaten down, you see, God wouldn't want us to go any lower. He will always come and pick us up and help us. So God here is acting in mercy for Saul, even though Saul didn't act in obedience towards God. This is the character of God that we can trust. He's a God who wouldn't want to destroy his people completely. He will give them a chance to repent. Even though Saul's history is not brought up again, who knows? Maybe he realized later that he had acted wrongly. You see, and there are things that he was saying through God's mercy, like confessing that the others, even David, was righteous more than himself. So God gave him a method, and this method seemed to be really difficult to reckon with. He said, just say that I am coming to offer. I'm coming to sacrifice. And you invite Jesse to the sacrifice, a low key. God taking a low key. Because he is not in a hurry. He is not rushing. You see, because we will see that king, though, even though David will be anointed as king, but he will not assume his throne until we get to chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. And just we have a lot of text to cover. And even this man, he is still in the picture. He will try to kill David, and he will do a lot of things. And yeah, so himself. And he will watch David facing Goliath. Is it those things? So this man's job is not finished, but he is acting in flesh. Also, there is a warning here. So God took a low key and gave him a method to do this. He said, invite Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Because I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, I have chosen one of his sons to be king. I went back to chapter 2, to verse 2. The Lord God himself, he has chosen a king for his people. When Saul was the demands of the people, give us a king like other. He was a king like other kings of the earth. But this man, David, the new king, will be the man after God's heart. After God's heart. So that is, this is very important that we see the fact that this king is a king after God's heart. Because this famous saying that God does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I think most of the Christians, they know this verse by heart. And so now there is this lesson to be brought before us. And I'm going back to say to us that as Samuel will go to Jesse's house and to anoint a king, now God is going to say he's going to raise up this man who is coming from the house of Jesse. And remember, who is Jesse? Who is Jesse? Who is Jesse? If we go back to Ruth chapter 4, and we will know who he is. So Jesse is a son of Boaz, or grandson. Yep. Because God here is fulfilling his promises that he will raise up a savior, a redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, will come from this house. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel." And now this boy who was born, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed, son of Boaz. And so Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. So the father of Jesse, the father of David, this then is the family line of Perez. So now God is just fulfilling his promise that from Bethlehem, from the house of David, there will come a king. And this king from the house of Jesse, so there will come a kinsman redeemer. So this man, Samuel, went and he came to worship. And as he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled. When they met him, they asked, "Do you come in peace?" Verse 4 of chapter 16. Why? They knew that there is something wrong, isn't it? And that God was going to act. But now God is not acting in disaster. God is God of mercy. He is coming really to rescue his people, to give them a king. And now Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." Is still maintaining God's wisdom, God's guidance. So we see obedience here before us. "Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And so the first one observed, Eliab. "Surely the Lord anointed to stand here before the man, before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." See, this word is the very word that was used for Saul. And why? There's nothing personal here. God is saying, "I have rejected his appearance." You see, as I have rejected Saul, he doesn't want a king like Saul, because this man is exactly like Saul. May be tall and very strong. That is why he was impressive. And so Samuel saw from his outward appearance, and then he thought this might be the king. So again, Samuel, as a great prophet, is not getting it right altogether. You see, he is still under the guidance of God, under the hand of God. And without God, we will be lost. Doesn't matter how great we have been anointed or how we have learned the ways of the Lord. Every minute, every second, we need to hear his voice. We need him to lead us. Even when we think that we are getting things right, let us have this desire that we know is God is leading us. He is involved. And we would see this with Moses when they were going to the promised land. He said, if you are not coming with us, do not take us to the promised land. Even though their desire was to go to the promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. You see, but he wouldn't want to go there without God, because he cannot forfeit God for milk and honey. And earthly enjoyment is the presence of God himself that fills our hearts with worth and with purpose. It's our God who has created us. It's when we walk with him that we will know why we have been created. What is the reason? It's to walk with him. That is the first and the chief purpose, isn't it? To glorify God, isn't it? But let me write you a new catechism. Let me write this to you so that you know that for this journey, he has created you to walk with him all the way to the glory. That is his heart, and that is God's heart. And so Samuel has to learn this. God teaching him not to look to the outward appearance of things. And also, even tonight for us, let us not look to the outward appearance of things. That is the problem. Because when Jesus came into this world, he didn't look to the outward appearance of things. He would have been drawn to the Pharisees and those men who were wearing like spectacular clothes and were really mastering the Torah. And they were very religious. And yet Jesus was not drawn to them. Jesus was drawn to the poor and to the outcast. So he turned upside the social orders of his time. And if we are to be God's people, to be the follower of Christ, we are to follow in his footsteps, to turn the social orders of our time upside down. That is needed. And I know we can't do it with our strength. We can't do it with our own strength. We need him to anoint us all the way. So this man has been rejected, and this word is here for a purpose. For a purpose, to press it upon the people of Israel, and to upon the hearts of Samuel's hearts, that this God delights in the hearts. You see, because this heart of David will be different from the hearts of Saul. Because this man, even though I have heard few times from our best scholars in our country here, who taught many of our ministers through the college, because of the sin, great sin that David fell into. They say, I wouldn't want to have a heart like heart of David. Well, you need to have the heart like heart of David if you are ever going to be after God's own heart. You need that. Why? It's not because God wants us to fall into sexual immoralities. Just because God knows that. Without him, we will fall into sexual immoralities every day. But he wants a heart that relies on him, a heart that repents, a heart that would want and to return to him, because in returning, we will be forgiven and cleansed, and we can fulfill God's purposes. And it is a big mistake that today, if someone has fallen into such a sin, they are just finished. You see, where is God here? Where is the God of David? Is this text of Psalm 51 does not teach us that God can forgive even the sin of sexual immorality? Even not only that he fell into sin, but he was also involved in the killing of the husband of this man, or the husband of this woman. So this is still God himself. He's a redeeming God. His grace abounds when sin abounds more. So God is teaching a principle here that he does not look to the outward appearance, the thing that man looks, and they're giving us a contrast, a sharp contrast between man and God, so that we depend on him. Then just a call Abinadab, and had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this. You will remember all the children of Jesse who will come after their older brother Eliab. Will not be said of them that I have rejected them, but I have not chosen them. You see? I have not chosen them. You see? So God wanted to deal with this first, to remove it out of the way. And now he says, these are not the one, are not the chosen one. You see, but I have a man after my own heart. Nor the Lord chosen this. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen this. You see, seven. Seven, that is like the complete number, isn't it? When it looks like this hopeless, God has a way, isn't it? There is still a boy there. The one that people were not even calculating. Even he was not numbered to be number eight. It's just like maybe like it's over the payment, isn't it? The Egyptian would say, focal beer. Yeah, you see, focal beer. Any Arabic speaker here? Yeah, so focal beer is something that when you buy things, then you will be given this as an addition. You see, you take for free. So this man, even he has no even price. He's not counted even. Have you ever thought like that? Have you ever thought like that? That you are not significant, that you are not important. And people will just pass you see. When people will talk to you like this. Don't be dismayed. You are counted by God. You see, you are so precious in his sight. He can raise you up and he can use you in the midst of all these great people like Eliab, who is impressive. You see, it's because God does not look into the outward appearance of man, but he looks into the heart. Yeah, please just give me 2 minutes and I finish. There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. And this youngest is the man after God's own heart, is the chosen one, is the King David, the man who will be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will write to us all the Psalms that are to teach us how to worship God, teach us the theology, revealing to us the character of our God, revealing to us the person of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, is the place where Christ is revealed. In a wonderful way to us. Even his Psalm 2, he will not, Psalm 16, Psalm 118, you see, the rejected stone, you see, David saw it by his spirit, you see, he will not leave my body in decay. Psalm 16, he will just wait until my anointed one, my chosen one, will be seated on my right hand and all his enemies under his footstool. So this is the chosen one, Samuel says. Say not for him, we will not sit down until he arrives. Who would want to sit down when God is at work? There is unfinished work. Don't go to sleep. God still has a lot in store for us. Why would we want to sit down and relax when God is speaking to us? It's just like someone sitting before the Lord, reading the word of God, and God is just like really blessing you, opening up the text, and then suddenly say, I want to make a coffee. You see, leaving the presence of God. Don't do that. If God is speaking to you, just hear all the way to the end. You see, do that. You look at our times, lunchtime. Lunch is not important. You will not die. You can just wait. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. That is the trouble of handsome people. Sometimes there is, yeah, so they don't look like what they are inside. You see, they might be polite and really godly people. But maybe, yeah, this man, his outward appearance doesn't look like he is so strong in his heart. A warrior, a godly man. You see, he loves the Lord. So then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. One of the things that impresses me here is the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking all the way. What a privilege to have the Lord speaking. Our greatest need is to hear God speaking to us. You see, the Lord is speaking. That is one of my greatest need. I hope it is one of your greatest need, to hear God speaking to us. Hear the Lord say it, I have rejected this. The Lord said, this is not one. In our daily life, when we go about things, so let us expect that God speak to us. So through the things we do, oh, don't be friend with this one. You see, oh, don't take up that job. Don't wear that clothes, you see. You say, you should not sign up for that mission. You should not do this and that. You see, hear to me, you don't write that letter. It's so harsh. Or write it in this way. You see, don't have that attitude. You need to have your ears always open. Seek me, even when you are looking like having an attitude. You see, you pray to God. He will speak to you and he will just change you. Even when you come like sick, like when I came earlier, that I was not going to be able to speak to you. So let me hear the Lord and what he can say here. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. In the presence of his brothers, you see. In the presence of his brothers, you see. So what is this? So even his brothers will not despise him because they were telling him, even they will tell him earlier, oh, you proud boy. You see, you go after the sheep. You see, you're a shepherd boy. You just go there. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon David in power. And Samuel then went to Ramah. His mission is finished. The Spirit of God rested upon this man. And may the Spirit of God rest upon us. May we look not into the outward appearance of things, but to look to God and to hear what he is saying. For God's will for us, as I said, for God's will for you is this, that you hear his voice and that you yourself know that his plans are better than our plans. Even when they don't look like really impressive or rewarding, his plans are the best. So let us hold fast to our faith and to our trust. Let us trust our Lord God, because the Lord Jesus Christ has been offered for us, and so that we might always be sanctified through him and through his word. Let us pray.